It's To the Best of Our Knowledge, and this hour we're rethinking schools. Homeschooling is an increasingly popular option for many families. In fact, the number of kids being homeschooled has ballooned in the past decade. But does homeschooling measure up to traditional public schools? Filmmaker Astra Taylor was homeschooled herself. Today, she embraces an even more radical version called unschooling. Journalist Dana Goldstein, on the other hand, believes homeschooling can undercut traditional support for public education. The two debated the issue in articles published in Slate and N+1 magazine, and Steve Paulson got them together in a studio.
Astra, let me start with you. To put this in context, I think we need to talk about your own experience of unschooling, which is a much more radical version of homeschooling. First of all, can you explain the philosophy behind unschooling?
Most people have an idea of what homeschooling is. It's having school at home. Unschooling is sort of the radical cousin to that. And the idea essentially is that we are learning animals. Children, what they do is learn. You don't need to teach a baby how to speak. You speak to it, and then, you know, it masters the art of speaking. So the idea is that you tap into a child's intrinsic desire to learn by sort of setting them free to explore. And it's a very romantic view of human nature, of education and pedagogy. And so when I think back to my childhood, I often envision it as a kind of nutrient-rich broth that my siblings and I were sort of allowed to absorb and move in. And, you know, there were no tests. There was no class time. Our parents were not our teachers. It was this very informal, child-centered experience. And we are not alone. This is a tradition that goes back decades, but really got started with John Holt in the 70s.
Now, this was not just sort of taking the curriculum that a lot of homeschoolers use and doing it at home. You had no set structure for a typical day?
No, there's no curriculum, no tests. You know, we would wake up in the morning and, well, what did we feel like doing that day? Maybe we felt like drawing or reading or playing or, you know, roaming around in the woods behind the house. You know, my parents had this sort of boundless faith that we were interesting people and we would find something interesting to do. And that, you know, my mother would say, when you're bored, you're boring. And so the idea was, you know, you should care about the world. You should care about learning. And, you know, you, the children, should pursue it. I shouldn't have to be sitting here with carrots and sticks driving you.
Mm-hmm. Now, in your essay in N+1, you go on to say unschooling worked for your family. I mean, you're all literate. You know enough math to be able to balance a checkbook. You have all pursued various creative projects, you and your siblings, and you, of course, are a filmmaker. It all sounds pretty good. So, Dana, let me bring you into this conversation. Why did Astra's essay get under your skin?
I was sort of troubled by the notion of unschooling and homeschooling as well as a model or something we should look to in terms of how to think about improving public schools. And the reason why is because so few parents have the privilege, have the option of implementing this sort of education for their children. So we know that a third of all kids and half of poor children are being raised by a single parent. And it's just very rare for a single parent to have the option to have the massive outlay of labor that it takes to educate one's child at home. And then the other point that I brought up in my Slate article that I think is really important is that in our society, the social institutions, the public institutions that have the most buy-in are the ones that tend to attract political support and improve over time. So, for example, when you think about Medicare, it's very protected politically because almost all senior citizens do use it. And with public schools, we need to be broadly improving public schools. And there's a growing body of research on peer effects. And basically, the best way to summarize that is to say that children learn more when they're in a classroom with children who have invested parents in their education. So, for example, a poor child learns more when they're in a classroom that is not just 100% made up of poor children, but also has middle-class kids in it. While the middle-class child, their test scores, there's not a lot of evidence that their learning is impeded by the presence of less privileged kids. So I'm sort of making this argument in the Slate piece that we should really think twice about pulling children out of the public system, that if we want to invest in our public schools, if we want to improve them over time, there's a big argument to be made that everyone has a better outcome when more people invest and participate in public schools.
So it sounds like you're not really questioning whether homeschooling is as good as it's cracked up to be. Your focus is on the larger social good, whether homeschooling undermines support for the public schools. And you're saying that we need to do everything in our power to to make public schools better?
Yeah, there's two ways I'd respond to that. First, it's clear that for individuals like Astra and her siblings, there can be many positive outcomes of homeschooling. And I've certainly met people who've been homeschooled, have had wonderful experiences, and are wonderful, well-rounded, socially adept adults. I'm not making the argument that some critics of homeschooling make, that it's bad for the child. I think for many children, it could be a very positive experience. I'm sort of asking parents who might be considering homeschooling and who do care, who do want to improve public schools, to think twice, because I think that having those sorts of parents and families participating in and invested in the public school system really does broadly improve public schools. And I think there's a lot of interesting research showing that students who attend public schools, who attend socioeconomically and racially diverse public schools, do carry a certain set of values with them into adulthood that are very positive. Now, I think it's clear from the debate that Astra and I have been having over the past couple of weeks that she and I share those values. So certainly you can bring those values into adulthood as someone who's been unschooled or someone who's been homeschooled.
Okay, Astra, let me bring you back into the conversation here. Is homeschooling undermining support for public schools?
I don't think it is. One thing I said in my reply to Dana was that the number of radical unschoolers or even secular homeschoolers pales in comparison to the number of parents who use the public school system but do everything in their power to move to the best school districts and get their kids to the best schools. Just the other day, the mother in Connecticut who put her child into a better school using, a family member's address, was just charged with stealing education. She's being asked to pay $15,000 for stealing education, and she's going to jail for it. You know, that's someone who tried to move her kid into a better school district, and that's the punishment.
Isn't it true that virtually every family, if they have any choice at all, is going to try to construct the best educational environment for their kids? I mean, whether it's out of school or in school, and if it's in school, aren't they going to try to do whatever they can to help their kids get ahead, their own kids?
Yeah, I think that they will. And I think Dana and I agree that what we need to do is think beyond the family and what's good for the individual family. And so, you know, one thing I think that unschooling, you know, the point of my unschooling piece actually was not just to praise, you know, staying home all day and doing whatever you want. In fact, the entire essay, and it's a long essay, is grappling with my ambivalence towards the implications of this tradition that I was raised in. It's a tradition that I love and feel has so much to offer in terms of its philosophy of learning and trust in children. But, you know, is it scalable? Is the world I want to live in one in which everybody stays home and is educated by their parents? You know, the answer is no. So, you know, what I wrestle with is what are the broader social implications? And I end up visiting this alternative free school in Albany that actually caters to inner city kids who have not been able to flourish in the public school system or kind of, you know, it's a last resort for them to go to this democratic school.
So this is Albany, Albany, New York.
Albany Free School. And so these are issues I'm grappling with. So, you know, I think that actually all parents, whether they want to educate their kids at home or they use the school system, need to think about the larger social good. And so what I think unschooling does, the thought experiment of unschooling is not, what if everybody stayed home all day? That's not it. The thought experiment of unschooling is, what if we let go of the testing, the fostering of a sort of competitive ethos that focuses on grades, on being at the top of the class? What if we totally abandoned all of these aspects of instruction that we're so attached to, that we think we kind of need to coerce children into learning?
Dana, let me turn to you about that thought experiment. Do you basically agree with what Astra is saying?
I agree with Astra that I'd like to see public schools be more intellectually engaging and less obsessed with test scores and more student-driven and progressive in their pedagogical techniques. Where I disagree is that you need to look at a private school like the Albany Free School, or you need to look at a really radical social experiment like homeschooling or unschooling to find examples of that. I think in our political debate about education, public schools are often just painted as totally failing institutions. And as an education reporter who's been covering this sector for 6 years, I can say undoubtedly that there are just so many wonderful progressive public schools that embrace these same values that Astra's talking about. If you look at the Community Roots School in Brooklyn, New York, which is near to where I live, if you look at the Urban Assembly schools here in New York City, those are schools that are working within the confines of the public system, and they're embracing so many of these progressive curricular and pedagogical values. And so I'm very invested in the idea that when we think about how to improve public schools, we look at successful public schools. Because in our education reform debate, too often we say only charter schools, only strict discipline, no excuses charter schools, those are the only ones that are successful. Or the only way that we can successfully, you know, improve education is to totally get rid of all mandates about what students do and what students learn, which is just not – that's not realistic in our political debate. We're in an environment in which standards and accountability are driving the education reform conversation. But I think what's hopeful is that there are public schools that are existing within that climate and embracing progressive values. And those are the schools that I look at in a lot of my reporting.
Astra Taylor is a documentary filmmaker, and Dana Goldstein is a journalist. Steve Paulson spoke with them.